Welcome back to another episode of the Nutrition Spot Podcast. Today we're going to talk about how do you fix your metabolism?
Yes. Question that we get
all the time.
Yeah.
Which I love because it indicates that people are understanding that there's more to weight loss than just calories in, calories out. That's like super oversimplified for a lot of us.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's really frustrating on social media when I see really young influencers just saying, you know, eat less, move more, especially like men too. Because again, our podcast focuses more on women, and women are different thing, like machines than men. Not that we're machines, but you know, like what's simple for them is not simple for women. Because we're going to talk today about how metabolism isn't a single unit. It's not a single system. It's a multifaceted system. And, you know, that this eat less, move more isn't helpful, especially like when I was an outpatient dietitian, I'd have women come in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, eating literally zero, you know, like 800 to 1200 calories, and they couldn't lose weight. And if they ate anything above that, they're instantly gaining weight. And it was because that advice doesn't work. And that when your metabolism is essentially broken in quotation marks, these are the symptoms we see. And eating less is only going to make it worse.
And healthcare providers are thinking when their patients are telling them like, no, I'm literally not eating, you know, I'm eating super healthy. Here's my food records.
Yeah.
And then the weight loss is not equating. Then the healthcare practitioner is thinking, you're not being fully truthful.
Yeah, you're lying, or you're not being honest, or you're underestimating your calorie intake and putting the blame on the person.
Yeah. So metabolism is the X factor here, right? And like, especially like Nikki said, like after years and years and years of us doing this, there's something else going on. And so that's what we're going to talk today. Like, what is the systems of metabolism? How are we doing damage to them with these repetitive years of calories in, calories out, decreasing our intake and hoping for weight loss?
Exactly. So let's talk about how do you wreck your, if you're watching the YouTube, you'll see quotation, wreck your metabolism or break your metabolism. If you're listening to the podcast, we don't really mean that like you wreck it, but how do you make your metabolism go down is what's happening. And this is, again, this we're going to kind of simplify things for the terms of simplifying them. But when we go into a calorie deficit, our bodies, like our brain still thinks that we are cavemen where food is not readily available. We have protective measures in the, you know, innate part of your brain that you don't control with thinking, that only controls your body functions. That's number one goal is survival. So when we go into a calorie deficit, it's going to slow down your metabolism over time in order to preserve how much energy you're burning, because not as much is coming in. And so when we first diet, the first time we diet, we don't usually see this happening right away. And that's why everyone's so successful. And that's why it's like this like gloriful thing of like, oh my God, I cut my calories and I lost all this weight. It's more the each time we go on it after that it happens, because our brain's like, ding, ding, I remember this. We lost weight. And even though we're, you know, weight loss is promoted for health and, you know, lower weight equals, again, in quotations, healthier in what we talk, like not what we, but like society talks about, our brain literally goes, weight loss does not equal survival at any body size, because it means that we're not eating enough food.
Yeah. And let's think about like someone that doesn't have that history of under eating, of that like triggering the famine mechanism inside the body and like freaking the body out. So they're eating enough calories to sustain their normal functions, right? And so then so that's just like called your basal metabolic rate. And so your body's happy. Like all the processes can happen normally. There's no reason for it to freak out, your body to freak out and trigger those things that Nikki's saying. And so that's when, you know, people are like, great, just eat less, just eat what you actually need, burn it off. And like, that is the normal way that we function in without all this diet history, without all the extra overeating triggers. Like that's literally normal human functioning. But a large proportion of us have this history of like under eating, which triggers the body to not have enough energy. So literally the metabolism is your body taking energy from food, transmuting it inside your digestion to then be a usable form of energy for all the processes that are needed to live.
Yes.
So if you don't have enough energy to just like basic functioning inside your body, aka low calorie diets, that's when your body really starts to freak out and things start to slow down, like Nikki was saying. So that's why that equation doesn't factor in here.
Yeah. And I just want to say, we go way more in depth into the science of all of this in a podcast episode called The Science of Your Body and Why Dieting Doesn't Work. So if you're interested in learning more of the specifics about that, go to that episode.
Mm-hmm. So that's what's happening, right? So your body is like breaking down your tissues, essentially. So of course your metabolism is going to decrease, right? And like Nikki's saying, that's when your body's like, oh, there's a famine. It's prehistoric genes, right?
Yes. And when your metabolism, because again, our metabolisms are not just like a single system where it's either working or not working. It's a complicated system with many different factors. And so when Shana's talking about BMR, like your basal metabolic rate, she's talking about how much calories your body is burning, but your body also with your metabolism is storing energy at the same time. It's always kind of doing both things. And when we're chronically dieting, we become really good at not burning as much calories, but also way better at storing the calories. And so we, again, with these women that would come in and they'd be like, I'm literally eating nothing. And the minute I do eat a little bit more, it's 10 pounds, you know, like they feel like it happens overnight. These are signs and symptoms that this is what is happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do we feel like that explains it enough?
I think so. I think that's like, and yeah, again, if you want to learn more about all that, just go to that other podcast episode, pause this, go there, and then you can come back. Because let's get out of this like dreadfulness of this sad metabolism slump. And let's talk about like, how can you heal it? Because the great news is you can.
Yes.
This doesn't have to be your life sentence.
So first step would be do the opposite of what caused the damage. Right?
Yes.
Which can be so scary because we've trained ourselves for so many years that eating more equates to weight gain. But if this predicament was caused by not eating enough, that needs to be reversed, right? We need to show the body that food actually is available.
Yes. So regular eating, not fasting, you know, like when you're awake, having food regularly. And note, like just a side note, you most likely will gain weight if you are someone that has experienced this metabolism issue. And I know, again, like Shana said, that's the scary thing you don't want to happen, but you have to think about this long term, because your body doesn't know that you're not starting another diet next week. Your body has to fully understand that, okay, food is readily available for a long term. I can actually start to burn calories again. And so you have to gain weight or in order to get to that point. It's not necessarily going to be your end weight. Again, we don't have a crystal ball, but your body has to heal. Just like we talk about, you know, when you hold your breath, you have to like inhale, like gasp for air. We talked about another time, you know, like if you didn't drink and you're like thirsty, you're like chugging water. You're not chugging water for the rest of your life. You're not gasping for air for the rest of your life. Your body just needs to kind of with the food to make sure that it's going to be safe so that it can and go back to like regularness. So it's a short-term thing. Yes, it's the opposite of the outcome you wanted, but you have to think of it as this is just a stepping stone to get to that metabolism that I want.
And think of it as like a true healing period where your body gets to use this extra food to replace what it lost. So when we're not under, we're under eating, our body's literally breaking itself down to a certain point. And then like Nikki said, then like the metabolism just like goes boom, you know, like it's just not doing what it's supposed to do. It gets really good at holding on to energy. So it needs that period to repair those tissues that it lost, right?
Yeah. And I know we automatically think when that weight scale goes up, it's fat mass. Mm-hmm. That's not always what's happening too. A lot of times in situations, especially if we're like cutting carbs at the same time, like we're just, our body is replenishing glycogen stores in our liver and our muscle and other places like that. When you restore your glycogen, you're also pulling in water. Our body likes to have storage of vitamins, minerals, like certain types of fatty acids, proteins, like, or amino acids, not proteins, but amino acids and things like that. And so it's just got to restore all those. It doesn't necessarily mean too, when you're, you know, in this healing process, it's all fat mass.
Yeah. Stay away from your scale.
Yeah.
It does not telling you the whole story. And it'll just like re-trigger that like fear mindset. But we've talked about that lots before.
Yeah. Another thing, when we're in this like repairing a metabolism phase, we want to also remember that there are things that can help increase metabolism, such as muscle mass. Now, I don't want to get into like diet culture wise, but our muscles do burn more fat. And so we want to be eating enough. We also want to make sure like we're moving our bodies too in a healthy way, because I wanted to say this and side note it, that over-exercising is actually a metabolism downer, in the sense that it's causes us to have stress, too much stress. When we're in a state of over-exercising, our body takes it in as stress. And when we are talking about metabolism being more than just like a singular system, stress is a huge factor in changing our metabolism up and down, depending on the type of stress. But negative stress that causes, you know, things like cortisol to be elevated can bring down our metabolism negatively. And that's not saying that your metabolism is broken, but in that moment in your life with those elevated stress levels, it's going to be lower than it is on a regular functioning day.
Mm-hmm. So what are there some other things that support a healthy metabolism? All the things that support health, right? So just think of like, how can you pour into yourself to make yourself feel your best? That is going to positively impact your metabolism and send your body all the signals that everything's okay and we can heal and start revving things up again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So eating regularly.
Yeah. Eating
sleeping
regularly.
And like good quality sleep, you guys. Like, this is the thing. And we talk about this with our clients all the time. You want to be sleeping before midnight as much, many hours as you can. I mean, not go to bed at like 6, but like trying to get to bed at like 10, because those couple hours before midnight have a wonderful effect on bringing down cortisol, on stress management, on brain healing and repairing. And
tissue repairing. So you're eating, let your body do a lot of the repair happens at nighttime. I used to laugh when I was a dieter. I'm like, I burn more in my sleep than I do at the gym. It's true.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's true. You let your body do what it's great at doing. Like, just give it a helping hand. Work with your body. Literally, that's how it happens. It ends up being so effortless when we start working with our body and pouring into ourselves rather than like pushing and restricting and being so punitive. Okay, so good sleep. And I like that, like you're saying. So that actually lets the food do its job. We're like, what a nice mindset switch.
Yeah, totally.
What else? Anything else?
More, and then just really like, so we weren't really going to talk about the whole other stuff quite yet, but really eating regularly is like the main thing that we need to be doing at the beginning stage,
and all the things,
adequate sleep. Yeah.
Right. We're talking not just protein, you guys, like fats are super important for all of these hormones that regulate the stress pathways and like help your body to properly function and feel whole again. So all of the macronutrients, we're not just going
carbs,
veggies and protein.
Carbs.
Okay, guys,
carbs,
fats,
carbs.
Proteins, flavor. Satisfaction, that's a whole other thing.
The whole shabam. And with eating regularly, now here's the thing.
Okay.
We actually didn't talk about this, but
tell me.
We just kind of touched point on the fact that stress can be a metabolism inhibitor or like slower downer if you're having the cortisol come out. Now, Thinking about food negatively,
literally, I was going to go there
is
next.
a stressful, it releases stress
Yes.
too. And so
Yes.
at the same time as eating enough and eating regularly, you can't be like stressing about it at the
No.
same time. And that was like my big thing when I was dieting, trying to lose weight, is I was so stressed. It didn't matter if I ate 0 calories, I wasn't going to lose a pound, you know? And in this healing repairing process, we want to be eating enough, but we also need to be not stressing about eating. And again, it's hard, especially if we're seeing, if we're experiencing that thing we were scared of, the weight gain, to not be stressing, but stressing about it is only going to exacerbate it and not help that metabolism repair.
Yeah. As best as you can, manage your mind, because it will have a massive effect on your health. And in this case, your metabolism. So just keep reminding yourself the bigger picture, like Nikki was saying, the bigger picture is one of health. Right now is a period of healing.
Of healing. I'm just doing that gasp so that I can come back to homeostasis. And it's hard to neutralize those thoughts, but you gotta do it. You gotta get that brain to not stress and be anxious about everything that's happening in our life with our eating and with other parts of it as well.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
I want to say my journey, like really quickly, just to kind of like highlight this whole process for you. So I was someone that would regularly eat less than 1700 calories, and my basal metabolic rate requirement is 1700 calories. So that's not even taking into account my physical activity, which I overdid, like Nikki's saying, was super stressful and can bring down the metabolism even more. It's not factoring in like the effect of like digestion and all that. So that's way under my calorie requirements. So I did that for years. So my metabolism lowered, like Nikki was saying. My tissues, my organs, my bone health, everything started to be depleted. My nails were brittle, my bones hurt. These were all just like signs. And then I got to a point.
I just want to say on that note, if because we didn't really talk about that, but your body, again, that survival mechanism in your brain will give up everything to survive. So if you're someone who is experiencing what Shayna is like saying, these symptoms she was having, that can be a sign that you're not eating enough, because your body is literally like, well, I'm not going to grow nice, thick, luxurious hair. Not that if you're like me and you're naturally a fine-haired person, you're not all of a sudden going to be more and have like a full. But, you know, like if your hair's changing to be less full and thinner and stuff like that, that's a sign that your body's like, I'm not wasting energy on that.
We've had clients who lose their periods.
Yeah.
Right? They're not even like hardcore athletes. They're just dieting, right? And so these are all signs and symptoms. And there's just like, and then the classics, like you're irritable, short temper, can't concentrate, all of that. Then it got to a point where I like really, really had to white knuckle and like eat less and less and less and exercise more and more and more if I wanted to maintain that weight loss. And so that's where we're saying like the body's really good at holding on to weight at that point, because like things are getting critical. So then I finally reached a point where I was like, this is taking way too much effort. I don't want this lifestyle anymore. So then I had this period of like Nikki's saying, the inhale of like, okay, I'm going to slowly, my journey was quite slow, tiptoe into this. And I let myself eat more. And that felt incredible. But there was that period where, because my metabolism was lower and I was finally, even if I was eating what I actually required, right? There's this feel, well, first of all, my weight was too low. But also my body had that like period of like weight gain where it literally gave it the stores required to rebuild everything. right? And so I just repeating to myself, it's healing. I'm putting like my body image and all those like fears, everything on the back burner. Like I'm doing this for me. Like I had a bigger why, right? And so then I went through that period, and that just like giving myself like that that explanation that this is a bigger picture thing helped relieve the stress, like Nikki's saying, of, oh my gosh, my weight, oh my gosh, my body image, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? So that like was a really big relaxation. So the body's like relieved that we're eating enough. Also, I way chilled on the exercise. So that helped relieve stress big time from my body and helped it repair. And it just gave it like this massive like abundance. And I focused on the things that made me feel amazing. And so that was like this really positive input in decreasing the stress cycles, right?
Yeah. So it's funny because I was like, you're really healing like your mind, body, and soul when it comes to your metabolism. And I know that can sound kind of cheesy, but like you got to heal your brain in the sense of like it has to know that you're not going to deprive it anymore, that it's not going to be in a state of survival, that you got its back, you know, food is abundant. You got to heal your body in the sense that like it has to have enough food to survive. Like it has to have food. You can't be restricting calories. And then your soul in the sense of like doing the things you love, getting the sleep you need, prioritizing your self-care. And then when I talked about like muscle mass, I know I want to go back and just like reiterate that and be like, it's not the over-exercising like Shayna said. It's like the moving your body in ways that actually helps with like the mind, body, and soul. You know, like stopping thinking that we need to burn 700 calories and just going for a walk. Because yes. The 700 calorie high intensity exercise when we're under eating and dieting is just stress on our body, when all we need is like a nice, you know, 30 minute walk outside, and it'll do us much more wonders than that exercise was doing for us in those, you know, that phase of our life.
I'm happy you said that, because my old self would have been listening to this podcast being like, okay, I eat more, but I have to make sure that I maintain my muscle mass. And I would, you know, do extra strength training and eat more protein. It actually gets to be way more simple than that. Of course, focus on your health and things that make you feel good, but that's it. You know, give it some time.
Yeah. And time. Time is the key to healing your relationship. We can't say, oh yeah, you know, do all this and you're going to be good to go in 3 months. Everyone's different. Yeah. Again, everyone's systems are different. Everyone's levels of stress hormones and sleep quality and all that stuff, even stage of life, is going to be affecting your metabolism. And so there's no magic number or in time period, but it will happen and it will come around. And sometimes too, just like, what expectation are we thinking? Because that can be another big thing. If we're thinking, if I repair my metabolism, I'm going to have the body of the dieting me, that might not be the right expectation, because your body has, and again, we've done podcasts on this, like a natural set point range that it wants to be in. Meaning if you're not overeating and you're eating in a, you know, listening to your hunger and fullness cues, honoring your, all of that, and you're moving your body in a way that feels good without over-exercising, you're going to be in a range that's effortless to maintain. And that's where, that's your metabolism at its prime.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Another
sign that we wanted to say about like, what are some signs that it's repairing? And so like Shayna gave a lot of good examples of symptoms you might be experiencing. So if you're happier now, if you're, you know, your skin, I mean, I have dry skin and brittle nails just because of my life since the day I was born. But like, if you're going back to your old skin and nails and hair, things like that, those are great signs. Your period comes back. Emotionally, you're more emotionally stable. Those are great signs. But also something that we call a self-regulated appetite is like a really good sign. And what we mean by that is your appetite changes based on what you're eating and how you're moving and sleep and all of that stuff. And when you can see it doing its magic. So let's say you go for supper, and you eat a really rich meal that you're not really used to, and the next day you notice your hunger cues are a little lower, things like that. The self-regulated appetite is showing that your metabolism is doing what it needs to do throughout the day, throughout the week, as your energy needs or intakes are changing.
Yeah. I think that's all we wanted to say, you guys. Oh yeah, so think of it this way. A healthy body can lose weight when our overeating drivers have been repaired. Health overeating drivers, right?
Yeah.
It's not weight loss equals health, which so many of us have been told that's how it works, right? And yeah. So then we just keep eating less and less and less and then hoping for health. It's really the other way around. Pour into our health. Yeah. Focus on what may have caused the overeating in the first place.
Yeah.
A lot of those are food rules to eat less. And then, so this just, we can approach it differently. Health at every size, right, you guys? But a lot of our clients are coming to us like, yeah, but how do I do this? I have this goal and I see this for myself and I don't want to do any more damage. How do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or even just like, you want to have a good metabolism because there's so many positive benefits from it. It might not even mean you're like really worried about your weight, but you just want to be like not having this poor metabolism where you feel like you can't enjoy any food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just want to be able to live free and easy.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think the other thing I want to reiterate is think of your metabolism as a system of your whole entire life. It's not just like how much muscle mass you have and how much exercise you do that's like affecting your metabolism, but how your life as a holistic all around thing is happening is going to be how you maximize your metabolism, how you foster a great metabolism by making sure that all of the pieces of the puzzle are working.
I love
food.
Yeah.
Yeah. The sleep, the self-care, the finding joy in your life, decreasing your stress, emotional regulation, having connections in your life, you know, like every bucket contributes to your metabolism. We got to make sure that we're really working all the time on keeping all of those buckets full.
Yeah. I like how you're saying before it's mind, body, soul, because it really, really, really is. And there's new science coming out on like vibration, like our energy. So cool how like yeah. we emit energy, like we're just, we eat energy, calories, we are made of energy. Anyways, so yeah, it's just really, really cool. So focus on, like Nikki was saying, like your, what brings you joy, what makes you feel good. That's what food freedom is all about, and yep. You cannot go wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for
and
these
there's nothing
questions.
there's no like pill you can take that increases your metabolism, so just don't listen to those influencers.
You can't wrap up magic and all of these amazing systems into a pill.
Yeah, exactly. Changing the oil in your car isn't like going to change the fact that you're trying to drive it without gas, you know, like that kind of thing.
Your body is wise, right? Like if something's not going the way you expected, don't get frustrated. This is something I've had to learn so many times. Don't get frustrated. Just get curious and compassionate. Why? Yeah. What's going on? What are you trying to tell me, body? What? And the more we do that, the more gold we find. And that leads to sustainable, enjoyable health. Like it's the coolest thing.
Okay. I don't know. I love analogies. So I'm thinking about like, what's a good analogy? So I didn't like my car analogy that I just said. What's a good analogy for metabolism? And it really is like a fire, right? Like when we think of a fire, what do you need to have like a good fire? You know, you need fuel,
mm-hmm.
you need oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are just like two things in the system of it. But if we think of like a fire pit, like you can choke out your fire really easily if your oxygen isn't there, you know, and if you're not giving it more wood, it's just going to eventually die out. And
oh, if it's being smothered, you guys, like this is a good analogy.
You know, like, are you being smothered?
Take time for yourself, you know?
Exactly. So boundaries. Like, you got to stoke, we always say you got to stoke the fire, you know, you're You gotta stoke it. You gotta keep it fueled. You gotta keep it happy with air coming in. Like, we're the same. We gotta think of our metabolism like a fire that we need to continually, not continually, but like, you know, foster and smoke or stoke. Absolutely.
And there's a whole other energy component to all of that element as well, but I'm not going to go there, but it's so cool. It's all interconnected. I love that analogy. It's perfect.
Yay.
Thanks for these questions, everyone. Yeah. We really appreciate it when you're like, can you go into this?
Yeah.
Happy to.
Yes. So, and if you're like, okay, I get the idea of eating more, but the mind, body, all that connection, I don't even know where to start. I know I'm stressed about food. I know that if I eat more, it's going to just cause my cortisol levels to go crazy, which isn't going to help my metabolism. That's where we come in. We specialize in helping women change their narrative around food, change their thoughts around food so that there is no stress, anxiety, and guilt, and you can eat food peacefully and heal your metabolism. So we'll put that in the show notes, how you can work with us. And we'll get you there.
Absolutely. Till next time.
Okay. Bye.